9 a.m. on this September 21st, 2016, day of Wednesday. Welcome to the weekly business session. As we do, let us stand and pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. If you have an agenda, they're on that outside table in the foyer. If you would like to have one, it outlines fairly well what we're the procedure to get where we are wanting to get to this morning. Good to have you here. As we begin this weekly business session, we have a special presentation from our emergency service manager, Jenny Hall, and I will turn it over to you to do your thing.
Good morning. Do I need to introduce myself again? I'm Jenny Hall, the Josephine County Emergency Services Manager. My presentation this morning is on the county's natural hazard mitigation plan. And I wanted to make you aware that it's time again to update our plan. As part of that planning process, FEMA wants us to ensure that leaders, partners, and the community are aware of the plan and have an understanding of why we have the plan. So just very briefly, our natural hazard mitigation plan is a multi-jurisdictional plan. It includes the cities of Grants Pass and Cave Junction, and it helps us to plan for how we will lessen the effects of natural hazards on our county. It's approved by Oregon Emergency Management, which is the state agency that oversees the emergency management programs, and also by FEMA. And we update this plan every 5 years. So the plan purpose officially is to reduce future loss of life and damage to property resulting from natural hazards. And by identifying and understanding the relationship between natural hazards, vulnerable systems, and existing capabilities, communities in Josephine County become better equipped to identify and implement actions aimed at reducing the overall risk of hazards. It's important to understand that the community is everyone who lives here and works here. So those of us in government, businesses, community partners, and citizens alike.
Or visiting.
Many of you must be familiar with our natural hazards since you live here, and these are the natural hazards for which we plan. We do revisit these hazards, the hazard list, every time we update the plan, and actually you'll notice that drought is on there, and it hasn't been on there in previous years, and that's due to some climate change. So we are keeping that plan current and looking again at the most current hazards. So this is kind of an interesting diagram, but essentially the way that we figure out what goes in the plan is we look at the hazards and we look at where we're vulnerable. In order to figure out what actions we need to take, we have to determine where our risk lies. And one of those ways is to look at those vulnerable systems. And in essence, those are what we care about. There are homes and there are forests. There are cultural values that are important to us on the landscape and in the built environment. So as an example, flood being one of our hazards, during a period of heavy rainfall, we experience a lot of urban and small stream flooding. We also experience flooding up in our forests. However, we don't typically rush up to the forest to mitigate or try to stop that flooding. It's actually a part of a natural process. But we do try to limit the effects that the flooding has on our neighborhoods. And so that's a good example of what we do and how the plan, how this process helps guide what we plan for. So in the plan, again, we have the plan mission, which explains why we developed the plan. The plan goals, which guide the direction of the activities. And again, those are aimed at reducing risk and preventing loss from those natural hazards, and action items, which actually specifically tell us what we want to do to mitigate. And in order to accomplish what we need to do, we need to have everybody working together. And so here's a list of many of our partners, although there are too many partners to put just on one slide. And if this is something that interests you at all, you can read our plan online and you can share your comments with us. And you can tell your friends that they should also read our plan and share their comments with us. Did anyone have any questions?
I do. I guess maybe more of a statement. I think looking at this plan or just the presentation, I want to thank you first off. Short and sweet and to the point. I like that because you could probably go on for hours about this plan. And apologize first. I've got a little bit of a cold, so if I sound like I'm underwater. One of the issues that I wanted to raise, because it sounds like the government has got a lot of partners and we're doing a lot of things to prepare for the resiliency of the population and such. And I think it's really important to note that the first person responsible for an individual's welfare in a natural hazard is really that individual. It isn't the Josephine County. It isn't the city of Grants Pass or Cave Junction or even the state of Oregon. It's really that individual to do the work ahead of time to be prepared for that so that you've got food or water for 72 hours or whatever the duration of time is that you probably ought to have that you've got backup power if necessary and all of those other considerations that you have to have in order to take care of yourself, because the county is responsible for taking care of the entire county. So we should be really concerned about road access and floodways or things that are obviously outlined in this plan, as opposed to helping specific individuals that takes away from the collective community focus. And so that's kind of what I wanted to say. Plus, we don't have the resources to really take care of 84,000 people individually. It's only a collective element that we can really accommodate that. And so I know that that's obviously something you understand, but just to reiterate that is pretty important. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I would chime in and say the same thing, is that we as citizens, we only know the effectiveness of this plan when a hazard occurs. And then it's too late to say, oh, I should have. And you are to be commended for all the work that you have done already and what you continue to do. And most of it is behind the scenes that nobody really sees. And so you're sort of this lump sitting in the office and disappearing from time to time. But it appreciate what you're doing, and you do represent, as I wrote down, you represent one of the outstanding leaders on the county staff. So the overall struggle is to prepare for this hazardous event. Yes. And we don't prepare for hazards until generally we have them, and then it's too late to do that. So it's that tension in the air, and everybody needs to get on the same page, and hopefully we'll all move in the same direction and we'll be downriver. So appreciate what you're doing and making us aware as we want to be aware as citizens. You've made all that available online and all those things, so let's appreciate that. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. On our agenda, that was presentation one, and now we move on to item number two, which is the administrative actions in consideration of 2A, which is approval of the IGA with RV COG for administration of community development block grant at a CBDG for property for senior meals. This is an agreement that is between the county and RV COG, and our legal counsel is here to do all the magic wording.
Yes, Wally Hicks, legal counsel. Good morning. So perhaps just a minute or so worth of general background on what's going on here. The Food and Friends program is currently housed in the 4-H Extension building, and the long-term strategic goals of the county involve moving that program to its own facility, and RV COG is now and is expected to continue being the administrator, if you will, for that program. So in order to obtain a new building for Food and Friends, the plan that's been formulated involves the county. And it's really important to draw that distinction between the county, what the county is doing and what RV COG is doing. The county, in and of itself, is going to apply for a community development block grant from the federal government. And the county will then devote the funds from that grant toward the purchase of this building. RV COG is going to bring in some matching funds. And so what this MOU does is describes whose role in this arrangement is going to be exactly what. And so the discussion left off, from my perspective, a little bit unresolved last week in terms of what was going to occur with the building and when. And so what it seemed like the intent of the board was that Commissioner Heck was going to contact RV COG and discuss one provision of this proposed intergovernmental agreement. And I'm just going to go over what the provision currently states and perhaps state what your options would be. And then I can either stop talking at any point, they shut me down, or then I'll just open for questions. And then if Commissioner Heck was able to make that connection with RV COG, he could certainly elaborate on that if he wanted to.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
What you're doing, I think, is exactly what needs to be done. You're talking about it. This is a wonderful step forward for both the county and RV COG, and they are very supportive of wanting to get it done. The county is certainly supportive of them being able to move out of the physical location that they currently have it on the public works area. So there's not really any issues at all that are between RV COG and the county. It's not a matter of how they're going to use the property. They're going to use the property for the food and friends and the meal feeding, and that's not a fly in the idea of a month or so. This is a long-term plan. They've been doing it for many, many years. They're going to continue to do it, and the only difference is going to be the physical location, which will allow them to continue doing it and to expand and to benefit a greater number of people in the process of getting it done. So there's not really any contention or any issue with that at all.
Okay. So last week's discussion did focus on section 1F of the intergovernmental agreement, and the section refers to what's called a deed restriction. And the reason we're talking about a deed restriction is that if the building is going to be encumbered in some way, then intergovernmental agreement would be insufficient for returning the property to Josephine County in the event that RV COG, for some reason unforeseen, would stop actually using it for the purpose of the Food and Friends program. And so the requirements of the federal government and the Community Development Block Grant Program are that the county, not RV COG, but the county, will be on the hook for 5 years following the assignment of the grant award to ensure that the program is actually occurring at that location, that the funds are being used, the building for which the funds are being used. And so Section 1F states that the the deed restriction that is attached to the back of the intergovernmental agreement will be placed into the deed, and that deed restriction does require that for the period of 5 years, the property would transfer back to Josephine County if RV COG stops using it for that Food and Friends program.
Right.
So that's the current status of the IGA.
Yeah, and that's for everybody to understand, the CBDG grant, RV COG cannot directly apply for that. They have to apply for that through the county. And that's the substance of the county's involvement. We are the conduit that allows RV COG to apply for these funds. And we're obviously trying to cover our backsides in case something would happen with RV COG. And that's the reason for this five-year extension. But there's no, I guess there's always the event something might happen, but there's no intention to get it open and up and then to move and leave it, and that kind of thing. So nobody has any issues with this at all.
Okay. So the matter that was raised last week had to do with the deed restriction only being limited to 5 years for providing this program. So we have contracted with RV COG, the county has, for over 10 years administering the Food and Friends program here in Josephine County. This is a significant investment by the community. It's roughly $1.4 million. I think the CDBG grant portion is roughly around six.
I've lost track of the number that we're seeking now, honestly, of what the CDBG grant
is. It was trying to make up the difference. I think it's pretty close to $600,000.
Oh, $600,000.
The point that I had is that we've had other situations where we have had tenants, so to speak. This is not the same situation. But what I'm worried about is that we're putting a significant amount of our CDBG capability into this asset, and that after 5 years, if the COG were, I don't even know if the COG has other assets, but it would come into
full ownership by RV COG.
Full ownership of a very substantial asset here in Josephine County. And I wanted to raise that point that maybe that deed restriction should last longer than 5 years, for forever. If at any time in the future that RVCOG no longer provided this Food and Friends program to the citizens of Josephine County on behalf of the county, that property would come back to us so that if we needed to take over administration of that program, we weren't looking for an alternative building, finding ourselves back in the Forge Extension building or someplace else that's less than ideal after having invested time, energy, and grant dollars. No general fund dollars are being appropriated to this cause. It just seemed like long term I needed to raise that question even if we didn't do it. I made a note of that, so the record should reflect that. If in the future somebody's looking at this, why didn't they consider putting that into the deed restriction? It was brought to the attention of the board, but maybe that's a consideration.
Okay. Any other questions for the council? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Any other comments on this 2A?
No.
2B is the approval of order 2016-042 in the matter of the consolidation and renaming of county departments. And we have our chief renamer with us.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Julie Schmelzer. I'm the director of community development for Josephine County. And what you have before you is an order that would actually combine the economic development department or division, which is part of the planning department, and the building and safety department into one department and renaming it the community development department. This was something that was discussed early on this summer, and we've met with as staff, and we see great benefits in actually combining them for customer service, efficiency, and overall function to make the process better for the citizen when they come to get services from our department. We've discussed this with you before, and we support the order and ask for your approval so we can move forward with changing our applications and our websites and our forms and basically be functioning as one department to provide those services.
So not to belabor the point, but we've been having this discussion, and I had this thought probably 2 years ago. When you look around the state, a lot of cities have this kind of organizational structure, a few counties do. The only two that I'm aware of right now are Klamath County and Polk County. Putting economic development in the planning office is really key from a policy perspective. So often planning is looked at as a regulatory body who's enforcing rules of the state, local ordinances, the Rural Land Development Code, but they're not really charged with economic development the way they ought to be. And so they're only responsible for one section, not giving a whole lot of thought to the wherewithal of the community, the well-being, the economic vitality. And so the idea of putting them under one roof, making one person responsible for both, somewhat diametrically opposed, but should be the same goal, I think makes a lot of sense. And it's certainly been beneficial, I think, in Klamath and Polk County. And so I totally support that. I think it was an element of timing that our building safety director didn't retire. He left office for a different job. And so the idea of putting all of that under one roof certainly makes a lot of sense, I think, as Ms. Meltzer has talked about the community, the customer service element. We've already seen efficiencies in that. Not to say that we're not going into this, you know, with just rose-colored glasses, that there are elements that are different, that are going to be challenging, and we'll definitely have to overcome those. I don't want to support the idea that we're looking at what we've done in the past and what previous boards have done with creating super departments. These are elements that are like services that make a lot of sense from an administrator's perspective, and that we're looking at fee schedules that kind of make sense, so you're not walking into one office getting charged this, and then you're going down the hall and you're getting paying something else. It's kind of a comprehensive overview, and having that under one roof, I think, makes a lot of sense. We're also looking at long-term, with this consolidation, trying to make all of the developmental types of projects under one one-stop shop. So if we were to move planning, community, and economic development, and building safety, now it's all one department, into one location and also have public works there, it would make a lot of sense. And if it were closer to the courthouse, you wouldn't have to constantly be getting in your car, running across town to go to the clerk's office, treasurer's office or something like that, the assessor's, you can kind of just walk down the hall and not move your car, find parking. It would hopefully cut down on the frustration level of our bureaucratic system that we have to deal with here in Oregon. So I think this makes a lot of sense. There is some economic efficiencies, but moreover, I think the customer service is the real driving factor. I think Ms. Meltzer is the right person to be doing this position. It really, it wouldn't be easily accomplished under a lot of different people. It takes a certain skill set to be able to manage people and have that wherewithal to get up to the 30,000-foot level and look at what the overall goal is. And that's serving the customers of Josephine County. So I think we accomplished a lot of those things in this consolidation. Fully support.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I appreciate is losing Robert Rice was a breath inhaler experience, but yet on the other hand, that allows for what we as a board wanting to see more unity, more department under a roof so that people don't have to go to, the commissioner here said, all over the county to find four different stops to get two pieces of paper signed or whatever. So this allows that to be consolidated on that, and I congratulate you, commend you for taking this and working it through, and not just unilaterally demanding it to be done, but working with all the partners involved in this thing to where everybody is satisfied with how this is going to play out, not just for them, but also primarily for the users of it, the customers coming in. And so it's a positive out of a potential negative. That's appreciated for your involvement in that. On to number three, which is our request and comments from citizens. This is a time that we allow anybody to address the Board of Commissioners, and as a three-minute window. And if you want to talk with us, please feel free to do so. The only thing we ask is that when you come to the microphone, simply give your name, and not the physical address, but you know, Josephine County or Merlin or whatever you want to say. And then feel free to speak with us, and we appreciate the time. So, as a hand, Mr. Ford.
Larry Ford, 136 Ferry Road, Grants Pass. With Jenny here today on a natural hazard mitigation plan, it brings to mind the fact that one of the unfortunate things in our county is we are the most cut-up county as far as ownership. I believe Commissioner Harris said at one time we might be the most disorganized county in the whole country as far as who owns what. One of the problems with that is when we do have forest fires, for one thing, is the federal government with their present administration chooses to do nothing about the disaster that's after the fire, and the fact that if it's not cleaned up, the likelihood of having another fire within 3 to 5 years is probably about 80%, maybe 90. One of the things that's been started here in this county is the FireWise programs for small communities, and it works very well. Jenny kind of spearheads part of that. I know that, I'm on the board of directors at Soil and Water Conservation District. That's something we've worked on for a while, and if you've never been to one of those areas that has become a FireWise community, you should check it out. They're just amazing. Will it stop forest fires? No. But what it will do is mitigate the damage around your property. It may even save your house. I know this year we've lost a couple houses out the Cave Junction area. Maybe they could have been saved if they were a little more fireproof. So it's just one of those programs that we need to continue to push forward with. And I know that we've got a couple more in progress right now. We've got one that's expanding. It started out in Joe Creek, jump off Joe Creek. It's now going to add more people because of neighbors around when they saw what the eventual outcome was. They're now interested in becoming involved. So I think it's one of the things that, as a county, has been done, that this county has really put a lot of effort. A lot of it's, you know, volunteers, and that's great, but the fact that you support those kind of programs is a great thing. And the other one is, and you guys both talked about it, both commissioners, is the fact that we went through the process about 6-7 years ago building a house. it is not fun. You end up running all over town. You get people that you might get to an office 2 minutes after it closes because you spent 4 or 5 hours in another one. If that could be consolidated, I think that would be a great thing. And I think the property up where planning is now, if you ever lost any of those people that rent in the upper part, if you could just move the office part for the building parts and the safety part to all to that, that would be a perfect location. You've got decent parking around there. I think you've got the square footage to put them in. The best part would be on the upper part of the courthouse, but that's not going to happen because you can't get rid of the courts. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to say address that?
Larry West, Grants Pass. I think, Simon, you expressed the need for this consolidation about as good as I've ever heard it. Very well stated and understood clearly. And you don't have the revenue come in, which we don't in a general fund, or growth in the economy, which we don't have, that generates a bigger income for the greater revenue for the county. And you have to get into a combine, simplify, and eliminate mode, which really consolidation here in the departments boils down to. But also, along with that, and this is what I didn't hear, is when you do this kind of consolidation, you really need to redesign your measurements, which often are overlooked. By that I mean new measures of results that you expect. What is the outcome you're trying to get to? And it's not just revenue reduction, but also deliverables to the customer, which is the population, and all the different descriptions of what we're looking at. If the focus was put more on these measurements and outcomes, then it makes your job to measure the outcome to see what kind of progress this has really developed. Failing to do that, often you wind up like we had this Wells Fargo we have right now. They didn't do that. They only looked at one thing, revenue generation. They didn't look at how that was created. So that's the weakness of overlooking this happy dance of let's combine, simplify, and eliminate. So I urge you to work with Ms. Schmelzer here and develop something especially centered around economic development that you can measure with results. And it may call for volunteers in the community to be part of that, in order to develop a quarterly report independent back to the commissioner. Because as you enlarge these departments, then the liaison actually has a much larger job. And it's not easier, it's actually harder. So by getting down this road of how do we measure this? How do we expect these results, what they're gonna produce? I think it's gonna make it easier on you and also something to report back to the public. Net, that's the synergy that I didn't see with this statement, and I may miss a lot of background that I didn't hear. Please think about that very strongly. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, no.
Bill Hunker, Merlin, Oregon. Larry and I did not conspire, but I had a similar thing in a slightly different way, and that is I've been in various points in my life where things were combined. And I think the thing that comes to me is that there's a real awareness of support for Julie's shift. You have departments that were independent, had their own goals, had their own ideas, and then those have to come together. She may be exactly the perfect person to do that. But I know that that always is a huge transition, and I'm hoping who the liaison is. As Larry said, there's a greater burden on that person probably to see that there's support for her and another level of looking at and helping her as she hits new things that this combination brings forward. Before, all the tracks are laid and everybody knows how to run on those tracks. When you combine those, a whole slew of new things and personalities and everything. So I think that it's very important that if you are doing a combination, particularly if some just they're similar, and I totally agree with the similarities, but they've not been similar before. They were working out here and they're support from the commissioner is going to be crucial to making that actually come together and flow. So I just want to see that she's supported and not left adrift with this great idea, perhaps, but only as it's worked through and kept track of by commission.
Anyone else want to say anything? Yes, sir. State your name and residence area.
Stan Morgan, 975.
The first name was
Stan.
Stan.
97526. One of the people that were up here said about community development. Well, this summer, the city got $400 million from HUD, but the city assistant manager said it was community development. Now, are the city kicking the county money out of that? And I was kind of concerned about what was on the agenda for you guys after we get done talking. I think it was C that said a third party, LCC, to do the building inspection. You can't sue an LCC. Do you guys know that? If they do an inspection wrong, they can't be sued. And how come the RV Cogs wanting to move and do new building? Is that part of the community development? I was saying earlier, it's $1 million a thousand to fight fire. Why not that $400 million fire up the things that were here years ago to take care of Siskiyou National Forest Service and this county? Spalding went down, and that was it. They had to bankrupt the ONC funds to do the things they did. Siskiyou National Forest Service, California to the ocean. I felt responsible for every square inch of Siskiyou National Forest Service, and it was people that lived in Josephine County that took care of the biggest part of it. That's why there was headquarters here. Now I looked up north, the old forestry building is two-toned. Is that part of the community development? So I guess I need to go to a city council meeting too, huh?
Anybody else? Okay, we'll bring it back to the board.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
Just a couple of things. I think, Mr. Ford, you're right. After a fire, the propensity to reburn is three times greater than it was before a burn. And I think that complexity of ownership was outlined in a CWPP, a Community Wildfire Protection Plan that I read 5 years ago, said out of 600 Western counties, Josephine and Jackson County were the most complex in ownership. There are more than 600 counties on the West Coast, so out of all counties, in my opinion, on the West Coast, we are the most complex, and probably in the nation, because the federal ownership, state ownership is great over here. I think one of the deliverables, Mr. West, that we're looking for is a shorter duration and application times, more streamlined fee structure, so we're going to be reevaluating the pre-application fee, what its original intent was, out of Commissioner Haugen's words, was really to make sure that the application that was presented to the planning department was streamlined. It was efficient and it had everything that was necessary so that the application process would go really quickly. I don't think it's being applied that way now. It's like an application process twice, which is not what its intent was originally. And I think we need to kind of get back to how do we help the customer their processes as fast as possible and as cheap as possible. So those are the things that we're going to be looking at, just two of the elements that we'll be looking at. The other one is that I'd like to see the Community Development Department do something what the city did about a year and a half ago, which was to reach out to one of their a group of their most, a broad spectrum of their clients that come in from time to time. And they brought them into the city council chambers, had them there for a couple of hours, and really just talked about some of the issues that they had seen in the past so that we could address them and have them not occur in the future. And sometimes they could be really simple changes. Like there's an application that requires a sign-off by the fire district, wherever it is that you are. We don't provide that form. You have to go to the fire district to get that form. If we just had that on an application, that was something you need to have. I've heard it from a number of people who come in, and they didn't know that they had to have that. And a lot of times, they're not from Grants Pass. They're from Williams. They're from Cave Junction or O'Brien. They've got to drive another hour, couple of hours, to go get that sign when the volunteer fire district is open and available. So it could be making that applicant wait a long time to be able to get that checked off. I think those are one of the things that we just need to have on a form, which Ms. Smelter is working on diligently. Mr. Hunker, the liaisonship for this new department will be, as agreed upon, I think, by the board previously, everything will be run through the entire board for the next couple of months, from the standpoint that there isn't anybody who's out of the loop, given the transition in the makeup of the board coming forward in the next year. We want to make sure that everybody's tracking on this thing, that these policy decisions that are refining how this joint program is going to work and operate are really agreed upon by the full board, that it isn't one person's vision driving this. I do have a vision for what this is supposed to look like. I've been thinking about it for years, and the whole crux is trying to make these departments work for the economic well-being of the community. If they don't have that at heart, then the vitality and the long-term sustainability of those programs is really in jeopardy. And I think Ms. Meltzer understands that if people are coming to having Mr. Ford's experience, they just stop getting permits. And then instead of refining their processes to, like, this is the way it could have been had you done it, and we would have helped you all the way along, and you wouldn't have to be dealing with a failing septic system in a couple of years or a couple of months after they move into their new home. Those are the kinds of steps that we want to be out front on, and having a willing department to consolidate, I think, helps us be successful in the future of the will. I'm not aware, Mr. Morgan, of the $400 million. They did build a new social services state-run facility that could be part of the money you're talking about. No, the county didn't receive any of that. And the RV Cog moving has been a project for the last 10 years at least. It goes back way before I was on this board. It was the original intent that they wouldn't be pigeonholed into the 4-H extension back room, so to speak. That's really not the most ideal place to run this service for our seniors that are vulnerable. And at the time, I think the program was smaller than it is now. Unfortunately, our senior population that's relying on this program is growing. And so they need to really have an ADA compatible, a parking lot that will serve their needs. And so this is not necessarily part of community development, but I think it all goes hand in hand of providing a good community where our seniors who retire here are going to be able to be provided for. So I think you raised some good points, and those are the, I think that was comments on that, sir.
You covered them all, with the exception of, for Mr. West, you commented that I think now the county, we are in a position to begin to address some of these issues and some of these concerns in a realistic way, not in an oppositional way, but in a coordinated way that we see progress being made, and everybody might take a deep breath once or twice, but you like what the result is. And I think we're in that position now, and it's not this oppositional and stereotyping the bureaucratic and the minions. It's not that at all. And I think Julie has done a very fine job of trying to break down some of those walls and going out and seeing and talking and those kinds of things. So I think we're moving certainly in the right direction on those concerns that you mentioned.
I would mention one more thing, if I may, Mr. Chair. One of the issues, you know, I think that I felt that there were issues in our planning department for years. We've had at least three. I probably lost track of how many managers we've had in that department since I've been in office. It's been the one with the most turnover. I'm actually actually heading to Salem tonight for a meeting tomorrow morning early in front of the DLCD about a pilot project that was approved in 2012 to try to refine our land use laws here locally, regionally, in Jackson and Douglas County. We probably weren't as successful moving through that process as we could have been if we would have had the same manager of that department the whole time. There were some things we probably could have gotten out of that. Not that it was a loss. We'll get something out of it. But frankly, the reason we didn't probably move forward with this consolidation sooner was the fact that we had a qualified person in our building and safety program, and there were other elements of triage, frankly, in the county. When I took office, we had about $1 million annual deficit between, or carryover deficit between parks, fairgrounds, and public health. And people forget that, the fact that, that those were all in the red and carrying forth debt to the county, they owed it to us, for more than 3 years. And we don't have that problem anymore. It enables the board to really focus on other elements. It's minimized funding in our public safety system, but it's stable, and that's another element that's been hard to get to. So those are things that kind of distract us from going to the really nice to haves, is what Harold Haugen would say, or the have to haves. We have to have these programs in the black before I can really kind of the board bring our head up and say, okay, let's start focusing on how do we make improvements in this program. So that's just the beginning. We've got others that we're looking at. So
anything else? Sir. Okay. I'll entertain the admin calendar motions.
Yes, sir. I would make a motion to approve item 2A on the admin calendar, which is an IGA with RV COG for the Administration of Community Development Block Grant, CDBG for property for senior meals.
And I'll second the motion. Any other comments? Call the roll, please.
Yes.
Yes. Motion is approved. 2B.
Oh, sir, I make a motion to approve item 2B, which is approval of order number 2016-042 in the matter of the consolidation and renaming of county departments.
I will enthusiastically second that motion. Any other comments?
I just wanted to make note, I don't know if this is the most appropriate place, but we have experienced a loss in building safety department. And I didn't know Linda well, but she will certainly be missed. Wanted to call attention to that. We don't lose people specifically in our departments very often, but it really, over the downsizing of Josephine County, even since I've been here, and that started before, I started with 446 employees, and we've been as low as 278, around 330 right now. When you get to be that small and everybody's hands on deck, it really becomes like a family in your office. It has to be, because otherwise you really couldn't function. I know that Linda played a real valuable role in that department, just as a human being, and we're going to miss her. So that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Call the roll, please.
Yes.
Yes. Motion is approved. On to item number 4 on the agenda, which is the approval of the consent calendar. And the consent calendar consists of minutes from the following meetings: County Administration Workshop on August 25th, General Discussion August 26th, Public hearing on the dog hearing on August 31st, weekly business session August 31st, county administration workshop September 1st, general discussion on September 1st, executive session, open session on September 2nd, and general discussion on September 6th, all of 2016. Item 2B, or 4B, pardon me, we have a resolution number 2016-062 in the matter of the appointments to the Board of Property Tax Appeals, commonly called BOPTA. And Commissioner Hare, would you?
Yes, we have three appointments to this. It's an annual appointment, and I wrote them down. Two agendas here. Multitasking. Mr. Paul Wilson, Dennis James, and Harry Mack. So if you have a concern with how your taxes have been valued, you can appeal to either the tax collector in combination with the assessor's office. This is administered by our clerk's office. That board will hear your appeal. I'm the liaison for going to be. This mm-hmm. is my first year to the Board of Property Tax Appeals. It's amazing how even just the congestion in your nose kind of fogs up your brain.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to observe.
And again, we are reminded that we would be very, very hard-pressed as a county to be doing even a modicum of business if it were not for the volunteers that step up and fill so many of these different positions and make it possible for the work to go on. Item 4C is a contract for personal services between Josephine County and the Building Department, LLC, for third-party inspection and the plan review services for building safety.
This is a continuation of an existing contract with this outsourced inspection firm. They're located or headquartered in Eugene, however, they have an office that's opening over in Jackson County. Mr. Rice has actually gone to work for this agency, so careful when you outsource. has a tendency to grab your best and brightest. But this is a program for us to be able to provide better customer service so that we don't have to have the full breadth of inspection-capable staff in-house. We just really can't afford it, in my opinion, and we aren't in need of the services all that often. It's just kind of to supplement the staffing levels that we have, although we are having staff get trained in a variety of different inspections. But this is mostly used, I believe, for our commercial inspections sometimes, specifically electrical and plumbing. And this will be used over time when those kinds of inspections come up, however rare sometimes, or outsourcing challenging inspections. I know that we have building inspections being done by third parties up north, or like the tree houses out in the Tequila, Illinois Valley area. Those are just ones where we don't have staff qualified or in-house. To answer Mr. I believe it was Morgan's concern about being able to sue an LLC, it really, at the end of the day, the county holds the inspection. So if there was something that went awry, you don't need to sue this LLC. You can sue us, and people often do. That we'll go after that LLC in our contract, which would probably be different than somebody who's just calling on for an inspection. Everything comes to the county, and we'll administer who is going to be charged with inspecting it. So that's how that program will be. It has a not to exceed, I believe, a $75,000.
Yes.
Just in my memory search, I still can't remember some things. Yeah.
Yeah, and also there's a point on that. If there was no ability to sue, they would not need to carry liability insurance or other insurance coverage. That's also part of the contract. They have a very strict liability coverage that they have to maintain as well. That's all, like I say, part of the contract. On 4D, the job description change for Community Development Department. You want to add anything to that?
It's just to refine the job description of the building officer. It's required by state statute and Oregon administrative rules to have a county building official named, much like a building, planning director. And this reorganizes or redoes that job description to reflect the hierarchy of authority, and that person, the building official, will report not to the Board of Commissioners, as the building safety director did before, but to the community development director, which is Ms. Schmelzer for today. That's the crux of most of those kinds of things, refining this job description.
Yeah, changing the name to building safety director to building official. That's the name change of that. Number 4F is resolution number 2016-060. In the matter of appointments to the local alcohol and drug planning committee. We're very fortunate that we have the very active LADPC, local area drug planning committee, that has different community partners involved in it. And we have two that are stepping up and wanting to be more involved. And I'm very happy. I'm trying to get to find the exact name. David Valenzuela is one of those that steps up on that. Page 26, find it. Okay, page 26. David Valenzuela, who's the superintendent of Three River Schools, is he's be on the LADPC, as well as Chris Hutchinson, who is a DHS representative. And as you can understand, their involvement is oftentimes higher than just an average community office or community work. And so we're very happy. These are four-year terms expiring in September 21st of 2020, if you can imagine. And then the resolution number 2016-061 under 4G in the matter of reappointments of the Josephine County Advisory Committee on Forestry. And we have four individuals being appointed to four-year terms, reappointed to four-year terms. And that's John Firth, Larry Ford, Tom Hayes, and Brian Such. So again, if we did not have people like this stepping up in the county role, we would be very, very hard-pressed to continue to conduct county business responsibly. So we do appreciate very much their service to the county and to the citizens of Josephine County. Any?
Mr. Chair, do you mind speaking to item 4E?
4E?
Kind of skipped.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was the reason I could not find my proper page number, I think. 25 is the appointment to the Josephine Housing and Community Development Council. Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. And this is also for a four-year term, and Steve Gilliford is the appointee. But again, we'd be difficult to do if we did not have community partners and committee members join up and serve in these volunteer roles.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir.
If you're ready, I'd make a motion to approve the consent calendar items 4A through G.
I'm ready, and I'll second the motion. Call the roll, please.
Yes.
Yes, motion approved. On to 5, do you have any other issues?
No, sir.
Number 6, then, is matters from commissioners.
As I mentioned before, I'm traveling to Salem to testify to the DLCD on Executive Order 1207, which has to do with a pilot project that was signed into being and appropriated by the governor, Governor Kitzhaber. It was really to address the regional similarities, but looking at marginal farm and forest land in this region, Jackson, Josephine, and Douglas County, and trying to figure out maybe a more efficient way to for the better and higher use of those lands. Come to find out that it's a real challenging thing to do in this region of the country, where Jackson County, one of these things that we've looked at is the cubic feet per acre of the qualifying for forest lands, commercial forest lands, and it's really tough to put your finger on the cubic feet per acre minimum or maximum or something, a statistic. Douglas County's looking to, they have in their rural land development code 85 cubic feet per acre. Right now, we don't have it defined in our rural land development code, and Jackson County has 50 cubic feet per acre. We're probably going to go along the lines of refining this and some other things that have come to light through this process, some of which we knew beforehand. But picking a definitive, yes, if you have over 50 cubic feet per acre, you are in that margin. 50 and 85, I'd say, which refines it from where we are right now, which is 20 to 80 cubic feet per acre, is at the discretion of the board to whether or not that qualifies, and some other characteristics, soil quality, slope, and general region of the county for rainfall. There's another one, Deer Winter Range. I'm not going to go through them all. It's kind of complex, and for most people, they probably have no idea what I'm talking about. Just know that we are not, even if this process, I think there were some frustrated people who came to the board a week or two ago, rightfully so, expected a lot from this process, really didn't develop into something of a product that we can hang our hat on. But it doesn't mean that there was lost information. I think Ms. Smeltzer and I are going to be working in the future on trying to get these processes through our rural land development system and update our books. One of those is really predicated on getting our codification of our code, which we're coming up on 6 years of working on that project with our legal office.
But
I think
it is
that
very close.
We are very close. We actually probably have a final draft in hand by the end of the month to review. And that'll be a big thing, to be able to put that out on the web for anybody to look at the rules that are governing them by the county. Wally Hicks has said that wherever this comes down, that board will probably be responsible for repealing or refining more ordinances than any other board ever has, because you'll be able to look at them and say, well, they are outdated, they don't work. The code, the state law, these are things that need to be pulled off the books, which will help people like Ms. Smeltzer trying to apply the code and say, yeah, it's much cleaner than it has been in decades. So something we're looking to accomplish here. And then I'm going to the ONC meeting up north. This is a monthly meeting that we hold, and we'll be discussing legislation that's actually going to be coming out here in the next couple of weeks, if not before the end of October, having to do with the federal fiscal year and a continuing resolution. There was a proposal for forest management out of the Senate subcommittee on natural resources that came out this week, and it was real positive. It was the first movement on forest management legislation we've seen out of this Senate for quite some time. And so they're going to be doing some gamesmanship by the end of the year. It's an election year for the House and a third of the Senate. And so what I'm expecting is the Senate's going to send over a continuing resolution, a CR, to the House, and then say, sayonara, you better pass this, House, or you're going to be responsible for shutting down the federal government, because we're done, we're out. And that could be a little scary, but it's likely that whatever the Senate passes, I would imagine the House is going to also pass, as they're, most of them, if not all, are up for election this year, and they don't want to be responsible for shutting down the federal government in an election year. And so funny how the Senate usually doesn't do much, but then when they do it in a big way. So who knows? Stay tuned to what's coming out of that. Apologize for my cold. It's kind of holding me back. It's ironic. I don't have kids, but they go back to school, and the germs just start flying everywhere. So be cautious of that. Wash your hands and drink plenty of water.
Wash your hands and drink plenty of water. Okay, I'll do that. That's the reason I don't have a cold. I wash my hands all the time. I'm a liaison for the Bikeways and Pathways Committee, and one of the notifications that came is that every year when they start going back to school, they have awareness of crosswalk violations and that kind of a thing. And Ed Burke, who was a sergeant with the Grants Pass Public Safety Department, said that he said, I'll be unable to attend the meeting last week. He said, would you please advise the committee that DPS conducted a pedestrian enforcement operation for crosswalk violations at Northwest Highland and Northwest Valley View during the first week of school. He says, I was very impressed with the level of compliance by drivers at the crosswalks. We only stopped one driver for a crosswalk violation, and it was more technical than blatant. So we ended up stopping a number of drivers for speeding in the school zone. And the last hour of the operation was conducted at random crosswalks across across town, and multiple pedestrians were contacted about walking out in front of cars. So the operation was partially paid for with a grant from the Oregon Department of Transportation. So that's the good news. Nobody got hurt on that one, so that's good. Also have a notification that Commissioner Walker omitted reading last week, and she sends this on to me. And it is important for the county as citizens, and also for the finance department to be able to lean back and sort of smile a little bit. They received a letter from the Government Finance Officers Association based out of Chicago. It said, Dear Mr. Hare, we are pleased to notify you that your comprehensive annual, this is O'Hare, it should have been O'Hare, not Hare, but
yeah.
Arthur is the finance director. So notify you that your comprehensive annual financial report for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2015, qualifies for a certificate of achievement for excellence in financial reporting. The certificate of achievement is the highest form of recognition in government accounting and financial reporting, and its attainment represents a significant accomplishment by a government and its management. An award for the certificate of achievement has been mailed to Arthur O'Hare, controller. So that's just something we can all just sort of lean back and smile and realize, man, we have some very fine people that are looking to this whole, and I believe this is the third year that that award was received. So they're doing a very fine job. Also, you probably saw it in the paper, but I wanted to make emphasis on it, on the Josephine County Search and Rescue being involved in a rescue on Saturday on the 17th. An individual, 36-year-old female, was hiking on the Illinois River Trail near Silver Creek, fell and sustained injuries to her head and legs, and was unable to walk. Turned out to be she had actually broken a bone in her neck, and it was a very, very serious situation. So in the process of that, the terrain was very, very steep. They tried to get a helicopter in. They had to move it. The bottom line was that they did rescue her. She was moved. It flew out. And all of these teams working together for the safety of this one individual. And we were very pleased with the Josephine County Search and Rescue that does a very fine work in time of great need. And we're fortunate to have them here.
And all volunteers.
And all volunteers, yep, all volunteers. The head of it is a deputy from the Sheriff's Department who heads it, but all the workers are all volunteers, and it's just, and they do a yeoman's job. They have training that is mandatory that they have to attend, all these kinds of things. So it's a very heavily time-wise, they are joyful to be able to do it. Also, for the county fairgrounds, you probably see a story or an ad in the paper on the fairgrounds. It was sent out a letter to the community, and the letter from Peggy Anderson and Mary Groves. Peggy Anderson is the fairgrounds manager. Mary Groves is the previous fairground manager. She's a fair board member now. But she said the letter reads that the stage was set, preparation was great, acts had been booked, vendors of food and rides were raring to go. We could not have been better prepared for our annual Josephine County Fair. First day saw an increase of over 30% gate receipts over the previous year. And then came the hot blast of heat. Three of the hottest days in our history during our fair severely crippled attendance. People stayed home in the cool. The lowered attendance had a domino effect of lighter vendor sales, lighter food sales, and fewer carnival riders, all of which meant fewer dollars for the fairgrounds. In that our receipts were down almost 50% compared to last year, I know you will understand why I'm asking you for your special help. Our ongoing expenses and badly needed upgrades have not gone away. We must get over this unexpected financial hurdle. Because of your caring heart, we can confidently say that the Josephine County Fairgrounds will continue to operate for the benefit of all residents. Your donation, large or small, has a double impact. Your dollars help keep our gates open, and the large number of you who donate shows to granting organizations the community support for the fairgrounds has to the grant funding organizations. Grants help us continue to improve our buildings. Every dollar you send in is needed, so please take a moment and help us keep your fairgrounds growing. Because of our wonderful community and your financial support, we will continue to forge ahead and keep our fairgrounds as the latest and most, the largest and most used event center in Josephine County. Thank you for your donation. It will be used wisely and responsibly, and signed by Peggy Anderson and Mary Groves. So you, as you see that, I would just encourage you to consider that, and if you have some desire to help out in that way, the money will be received by the fairgrounds and used in that. There's some exciting news regarding the fairgrounds that I'm not at liberty to share right now because it's not yet 12 o'clock or whatever it is at the official hour, but be some very exciting news regarding the fairgrounds and the community support that is generated by our amazing, caring community in which we live. It's a true privilege to be a part of Josephine County. Anything else, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it is 10:02. This meeting is adjourned.